Joshua 3 and 4. Before we read those scriptures this morning, associated with the sermon that's titled A Journey into the Unknown. It's the name of the sermon, A Journey into the Unknown. I love these words here on God's unchanging word. Go back up there, brother. I want you to say these words with me. Let's read this all together. I love this word. For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, His word shall stand forever. Amen. God's word stands forever. We thank God for His word. Now reading in James 4 and verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Everybody in here today that knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, just lift your hand. Now, we've all made plans. We think what we're going to do tomorrow. Most of us have an idea what we're going to do. But the truth is, we have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? We have none whatsoever. That's part of the journey into the unknown. Because it is unknown, isn't it? Now, look with me at this next verse in Joshua 3 and verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits of measure. Now the Lord has given instructions through Joshua to the children of Israel as they're going to follow the Ark of the Covenant across the Jordan. So he says, you're going to have a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Now, when we talk about not knowing what tomorrow holds, the truth is we've never passed that way before. Each day is a new day, a different day, a new opportunity, isn't it? Joshua is giving instructions to the children of Israel as they begin to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And he's warning them that they've not passed this way before. And as they followed the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan, you remember the story. The waters of the Jordan are cut off and they stand still. And they crossed over on dry land. Wonderful blessings and promises waited for God's people as they were obedient. And God went before them making provision for them in the new lands, in the new territories. I praise God because God has made promises to you and to me, hasn't He? The Word of God is full of the promises of His speaking to you, our hearts, heart to heart, from God to you and to me. The promises of God are so that we'll understand His plans and His ideals and His guidance, that He wants us to be happy in heart, that He wants us to be prosperous in the best things of life. Of course, as I say that, I'm reminding you that the best things in life aren't things at all, are they? No. The best things in life, money can't buy. See, the best things in life that God has for you and me are the blessings and favor and presence and ministry of His loving Spirit in us to reach out and love and bless others and to be full of the joy and peace and hope of Christ. Those are the blessings and the best things that we have that God wants for us. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus talks about material things, food and clothing and the needed things of life. Remember what He says? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, it's God's formula for our happiness. It's His formula for spiritual prosperity. When we give Him first place in our life, there's a promise that says He's going to give us everything we want. No, that's not what it says. He says if we give Him first place, He's going to meet all of our needs, doesn't He? He's going to meet all of our needs. He's going to meet all of our needs for tomorrow, for next week, for next month, for the long time that we're here on this earth until we're in heaven. He's promised to meet our needs and to give us joy in His presence and His peace. And it's not just on Sunday mornings at church. It's 365 days a week. Praise God, it's in our homes, it's in our businesses, it's in every walk of our life. Each new day, think of it, God wants us to have a perspective that each new day is a journey into the unknown. We may make assumptions about what we think is going to happen tomorrow, but we really don't know, much less what's going to happen next week, next month, or even next year. You've got to have the right ingredients in life from God's perspective, for it to be right. Sherry she's always making something. Can I just tell you? You know, when we built our house, I made sure there was a wall between the den and the kitchen. You know, the modern thing is to make it all open, right? You know, it's all open. Everybody's just kind of open. Kitchen and the den, it's all open. Well, for me, that just doesn't work because, you see, the whole time that we're home, Sherry almost always is in the kitchen grinding and blending and shaking and stuff going on in there. I mean, there's something constant. There's all this noise and racket because she's always making or baking something in that kitchen. And you can't watch Cheyenne real good with all that noise going on in the kitchen. And so when we made the kitchen totally separate from the rest of the house. So she can just make all the grinding, blending, churning noises as she bakes, and it's just wonderful because she's always baking good stuff. Well, she baked this incredible homemade coconut pound cake just in the last week or two. Oh, it was so good. I don't know if y'all got a bite of that. It was just delicious. She brought it. She says she brought it. It was only good because she put the right ingredients in that coconut pound cake. Our lives will only be good, and what God wants for us, it won't happen until we put the right ingredients in to each individual life. If we want to live a Spirit-led, prosperous, and happy life, you've got to put the right things in it. And that's what this sermon is about. Let me give you the first ingredients. First of all, the Bible must have a place in your life. The Word of God. You can't neglect the Bible. You cannot neglect reading the Word of God and find true prosperity and happiness. It won't happen. And yet so many Christians regularly neglect reading God's Word. Ignorance of the Bible is such a terrible, sad thing. At the end of World War II, the Minister of Education in the country of France was making a speech to give tribute to the war dead of his country. In that speech, he quoted Paul's familiar words. He said, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" And when he got through quoting it, he attributed those words not to the Apostle Paul. His biblical ignorance was profound because he attributed those words to an English author named Hal Caine. How embarrassing. In the Bible, we find the bread for our hungry souls. Isn't that true? During the Civil War, a young soldier lay in the hospital wounded and sick and depressed. His father traveled many miles to come and visit his son in the hospital. He saw the depression and sadness and sickness on his son's face. He said, "Son, I brought you a present." And he starts unwrapping it. It's a big old loaf of homemade bread that his mother had made for her son. And that boy began to smell that bread and eat that familiar, wonderful bread he could remember his mother making for him. And that bread just began to lift him up, his spirit and mind and physical body, just because of the wonderful bread that his mother has made for him. Can I tell you that the bread of heaven, God's Word, the bread of heaven is there for sin-sick souls. It's there for struggling Christians if we'll just partake of it. Amen. In Scotland, there's an old shepherd. He would call his sheep and they would always follow him. Every time this old shepherd would call the sheep, they would always follow him. One day somebody asked the old shepherd, they said, "Will these sheep follow a stranger?" And he said, "They'll only follow a stranger if they're sick." Do you know why so many church members follow false doctrine and follow false teachings? It's because they're sick spiritually, because they haven't taken the tonic of God's Word to their mind and heart and spirit. It's true. In the Bible, in God's Word, we find peace for our troubled souls. A neurotic woman in New York City, she went to a Christian doctor for an examination. Well, the doctor couldn't find anything wrong with her. So he told her, he says, "Here's my prescription for you. I want you to go home and I want you to read the Bible 1 hour every day for a month. And after that month, you come back and see me." Well, the woman, she told the doctor, she said, that sounds so silly. That just sounds ridiculous, but you're asking me to do it, so I'm going to do it." She said, "What could it hurt?" So she left, and she did exactly what the doctor told her. Every day, she read the Word of God for an hour, and she did it every day for a whole month. She came back in a month later for her appointment to see that doctor. And when she walked in, she was glowing with health and happiness. And she said, "Doctor, I feel wonderful. The prescription you gave me was perfect. It's just what I needed." Her doctor told her, he said, "If I omit daily Bible reading, I lose my greatest source of strength." That's true for me and you, by the way. If we omit taking time each day to take the bread of life, the Word of God, into our minds and hearts, we lose the greatest source of strength. It's God's Word speaking to us to lift us up and to help us. In the Bible, in God's Word, we meet Jesus face to face, don't we? Oh, Jesus is in the Old Testament. He's in every type. He's in every sacrifice. Jesus is in every prophecy. He's in the New Testament. If you want to meet Jesus face to face, follow Him through the Word of God. Follow Jesus in the Bible. I tell you, the Bible is the only safe book to live by. And I'll tell you this, it is a sweet book to die by. Yesterday in that funeral for James Hagar, I just quoted scripture after scripture after scripture, given the promises and hope of eternal life, the promises of an empty grave, the promises of Jesus. If you're trying to live according to the foundations of this earth, if you're living according to the structure of this world, I'm going to tell you, it's going to tremble, it's going to crumble, and it's going to fall. But the only thing that'll stand is the Word of God. God is in His book. It cannot be destroyed. Do you hear me? The Word of God can't be destroyed. It has gone through a river of blood. The blood of martyrs has stained every page of the Word of God. It has sustained men and women through the ages, ages and ages. And it's going to sustain you and me if we'll take it into our lives. So I encourage you, dust off your Bibles. Let it be your guide and your stay during every day, every week, and every month as you go forward. That first ingredient, the Bible must have place in your life. The second ingredient is about prayer. Prayer must have a place in your life. Years ago, I preached a sermon titled, "The Sin of a Prayerless Life." Do you know how many Christians live prayerless lives? Other than suddenly when they're in trouble, they'll say a quick prayer. But the daily discipline of prayer in so many Christians just doesn't exist. Prayer is a place for provision. Prayer is a place for the provision of our needs. Prayer is a place of power that we need in our individual lives. Moses found power on the mountaintop with God, didn't he? Paul found power in the loneliness of a desert when he went to pray. Jesus found power in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed. Do you have a place of prayer? Do you have a place where you can go and find the provision to have needs met and to receive the power that God wants to give you? Do you have that special place you can go and say, this is my place, this is where I pray, this is where I let God speak to me and I reach out in faith to Him? I want to remind you what prayer has done, just to encourage you on the importance of prayer. Prayer has divided the seas, and prayer has rolled up flowing rivers. Prayer has made rocks to gush in the wilderness. Prayer has quenched the flames of the fiery furnace. Amen. Prayer has muzzled lions and has offset the poison of vipers. Prayer has conquered devils and commanded angels. Prayer has recalled souls from death. Prayer has tamed the sinful passions of men. Prayer has beaten and routed the armies of the atheists. Prayer has great power. There should be a place for prayer in our lives. There must be. There must be a place for prayer. There is a place where thou canst touch the eyes of blinded men to instant perfect sight. There is a place where thou canst say, arise to dying captives bound in chains of night. There's a place where thou can reach the store of hoarded gold and free it for the Lord. There is a place upon some distant shore where thou canst send the worker and the word. Where is that secret place? Dost thou ask where? O soul, it is the secret place of prayer. Oh, I encourage you to have that secret place of prayer today. We can be tired. We can be weary. We can be emotionally distraught. We can be depressed. But after spending time alone with Jesus in prayer, we'll find that He can pour into our bodies, our weariness, our minds. He can pour hope and health and power and strength when we pray, when we get alone with God. I beg you, I encourage you, pray daily. Find some place where you can be alone with God without any distraction. You must be disciplined. You must be determined. Amen. You must put it as a priority in your life. Find some time to give to prayer. Even if you got to get up early or stay up late or change your routine, there must be a place for prayer in your life. The third thing is that there must be the element of the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the right ingredients. We're talking about a journey into the unknown. I don't even think about making that journey without the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. There was as much nuclear power in the world 1,000 years ago as there is in the world today. Did you know that? See, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. We didn't even invent nuclear power until the 1950s. I'm going to say it again. There was as much nuclear power in the world 1,000 years ago as there is in the world today. The difference is that men 1,000 years ago were limited in their knowledge and in their use of it. Isn't that true? Now stay with me this morning. There is as much spiritual power in the world today as there was on the day of Pentecost. But men are limited in their understanding of that power. They're limited in their understanding, and that power comes by the promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? Oh, it's the wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings us in such close communion with God, that gives us our spiritual prayer language, that we pray for things we don't even understand as we pray in utterances and groanings in the Spirit. What a wonderful blessing and gift God gives us if we would just use it. Acts 1 and 8 tells us, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Luke 24 and 49 says, behold, I send the promise of my Father, But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Aren't you glad that God's given us that promise? Ephesians 1:18-19, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Oh, may God baptize us all in the Holy Spirit again and again, providing His power in our lives to believe for miracles and healing and salvation and deliverance and the mighty move of God when we come to this place of worship. Amen. John 14:12 says, most assuredly, I say to you, these are the words of Jesus, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father in heaven. Did you hear that today? Listen to what Jesus is saying. If you believe in him, it says the works that he did, you'll also do, and even greater works you'll do because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Do y'all believe that? Do you really believe it? The words of Jesus are for you and me today. They're for us. It's the promise of the words of Jesus to see incredible works. Because believers dare accept that truth today. A missionary couple by the name of Jerry and Karen Jacob were serving as missionaries in the Solomon Islands. They had prayed and prayed, and finally their prayers were answered because a Christian healthcare ministries team in 2004 had agreed to come to the Solomon Islands to minister healthcare with a doctor, all done in the name of Jesus. They were praying that when that healthcare team came, that some of those that had resisted the gospel would finally come to know Christ. They'd see the outpouring of love and help, and it would bring revival to those that they'd been ministering to. Well, the doctor and the nurses got busy that morning as people from all around in the Solomon Islands paddled their little canoes up to the main island where the ministry team was located. To come to see that doctor, they had a very crude makeshift little buildings that were put together. The doctor was named Dr. Dennis, and he had nurses and other professionals with him. The missionary lady, Karen, volunteered to work that day in the pharmacy. Suddenly a nurse came in wide-eyed with fear and asked Karen to come quickly. A young local woman was giving birth, and there was a serious problem in that birth. Karen entered to a small, sparse room, and the mother was on the table. And on that table was a tiny gray infant that a nurse had been holding in her arms. Dr. Dennis came into that room to assist, and the room was just silent. That newborn baby was not breathing at all. It would not have been a problem had it been in an American hospital where they had suction cups and oxygen and all that, but they didn't have that there. Well, the nurse began to massage this tiny little baby. And she asked everyone, she said, please pray, we must have God's help here. Minutes passed. And again she cried out even louder. She says, pray louder, just pray. And as Karen, the young missionary lady, looked on, she saw this helpless, lifeless baby. Dr. Dennis took the little baby, began to do CPR, try to save its life. The CPR wasn't working. The baby was turning cold and blue, and they're all praying, asking God to return life to this little child so the parents, so the mom and dad would know that God is God, but Jesus is real. Dr. Dennis worked on that tiny little baby what seemed like an eternity. His prayers were going up to heaven. Suddenly it seemed like the presence of Jesus just filled that little room. And that little lifeless infant gave up a tiny little cough and spit up some fluid. And color began to appear around the mouth and the nose and the cheeks of that little baby. Next came what everybody was waiting and praying for, that first cry of that little newborn baby. And they all begin to praise God as the cry of that little baby became louder and stronger. And they rejoiced as the blue body began to turn pink, showing the blood rushing through the little boy's, the little baby boy. The young missionary Karen immediately went to the mother and showed her how special this life was that God had brought to her, that Jesus had given her son back to her. As Karen left that room with Dr. Dennis, she asked the doctor, she says, "How long did that baby go without breathing?" Dr. Dennis said, "At least 10 minutes. It was a miracle right before our eyes." I'll tell you what, that morning the people were praying, and when they were praying, they weren't worried about what they were saying or how they sounded or what they looked like. They didn't think about where they were or what the right words were. Their hearts were just crying out to heaven in Jesus' name for that little baby. They were calling on the name that is above all names, the name that brings life. They called on the name of Jesus, and he came and he met that need. And that mother named that little boy Dennis after that Christian doctor that helped that little boy come back to life. There's words I have for you on the overhead. I want you to see these words this morning. There is a big difference between the Spirit residing in us, which is true for all born-again believers, and the Spirit reigning in us, which is only true of those that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit baptism. We need the Holy Spirit. That's a key ingredient to face our tomorrows, the journey of the unknown. Lastly, the final element in our life is witnessing for Jesus, to be a witness for Him. Just pause for a minute this morning with me and just look back over the last few months, over the last year, the last few years. Can you name one person that you pointed to Jesus, and as a result, they were born again? Another opportunity awaits you. It's today, it's tomorrow, and it's the day after. You have another opportunity. You don't understand, but you know, today or tomorrow may be someone's last chance to accept Jesus as their Savior. Sadly, Christians go to church for years and never win one soul for Jesus. Something's wrong with that. Something's not right with that. One of Reverend Dwight Moody's, in his revival meeting, a man shouted out to him from the crowd and said, "Dr. Moody, for 20 years I've been living on the mountaintop of transfiguration." Dr. Moody looked back at that man and he says, "Have you won a soul to Christ?" And the man answered that he had not won anyone to Christ. Dr. Moody replied, "Well, we don't need that kind of mountaintop experience. An experience that doesn't cause you to have a passion to share Jesus and to win one more soul to the Savior is not the experience we need. We need passion-filled hearts that recognizes that there are lost and dying folks just waiting for me and you to say, 'Can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you how much I love Him? Can I tell you what He's done for me?'" That should be our passion. Every opportunity, may God give us the boldness and the witness of the Holy Spirit. Today, I just want to call you as your pastor and minister. I want to call you back to the old paths, to the old ways, out of the cares of this world, out of neglect, out of indifference, out of selfishness. I want to call you back to the old prayers of prayer and Bible study and faithful church attendance and moral righteousness and holiness and surrender to the hand of the potter to allow Jesus to be Lord of your life in a way that causes you every day to say, let me, Jesus, win somebody today. I call you back to a life of service, of being poured out as a drink offering, where you're willing to be inconvenienced for someone to know Jesus, where you're willing to be allowed your life to be turned upside down because it'll give you the chance to bring someone from damnation and hell to the glory of heaven and faith in Jesus Christ. A life in the Spirit. The spiritual power of believing in God for signs and miracles and salvations. If you knew you were in the last months of your life, would you live it differently than what you've been doing? If you knew for certain you were in the last months of your life, I can tell you, you'd never miss a worship service. You'd never miss a Wednesday night worship service. You'd be volunteering for every opportunity you could find to serve Jesus. You'd be giving freely of your tithe and your offerings. You'd never start a day or end a day without prayer, giving praise and thanks and making your petitions known to God. You would not let a day go by without finding someone that you could tell them how much you love Jesus. And you wouldn't care how they reacted or what they thought. You would believe that just maybe it was a divine appointment that God had prepared their heart to receive what you had to say. As Joshua told those folks as they were crossing the Jordan, as he said, we've not passed this way before. Well, that's true for you and me. When we look at tomorrow and next week, we've never passed that way before. It's a journey into the unknown. But I'm going to tell you, if you have the right ingredients, if you have these things in your life, if the Bible has a place, if there's a place of prayer, if there's the power of the Holy Spirit, those three things alone will create number four, and that is the passion to share Jesus with those around you. That's the purpose of the church. That's our purpose as we serve Him today. So I just conclude today with just telling you, it may be the last year for me. It may be your last year because we don't know. Tomorrow may be our last day. We don't know that, do we? Oh God, help us to understand this may be our last opportunity. And we approach every day with a mindset and a heart that says, today, God, I'm yours. Oh, God, today I humble myself before you. God, today I want to be poured out as a drink offering. God, use me. Let me not think of myself. Oh, God, pour your Spirit through me. Use me today to touch others in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Touch your children today, Father God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Don't waste any time. Time is running out. Time for the church. The church is me, you, and you, and you, and you. It's time for us to stand up. It's hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. We must keep on again. We must make a loud noise. When we go to the same game, or when we go to the same game, don't be shy. For it's time to shout Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lift up your soul.
Oh, hallelujah.
Sit there and not say
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody wants to go to heaven, but is anybody willing? Are we willing to love one another like
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do a work in our hearts today. Holy Spirit, do a work in our hearts today. By your power, Father, minister in this church today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise your name. Sherry, you know the words of that song?
Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face and gaining new power to run in the race. I long to be shut in with God.
Sing it again.
Hallelujah. Shut in with God in a secret place. Oh, there in the Spirit, beholding His face. Oh, gain new power to run in the race. I long to be shut in with God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know the hour is late, and if some of you need to leave, that's fine. But the Lord wants to do a work here today. If you feel in your spirit you need prayer for any reason, would you just stand up right now? Do you need prayer for anything in your life? Would you just stand up, special prayer? Yes, I see those standing up. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. I want everybody just to take a minute, and you see those standing nearby. I want you to go up behind or beside someone you see standing up. I want somebody behind or beside everyone that's standing up. I don't want anybody just standing alone. So you go to whoever you see standing up that needs prayer. Someone on this side over here needs some folks standing with them. Praise God. Jesus is in this place today. And some other lady, dear lady right here, needs somebody to pray with her. Hey, brother, Sister Ada, could you pray with her? Nina, you got somebody there? Now, I want us just to sing that song one more time, Shut In With God. As we sing, God's going to minister and touch and meet needs. Needs that are unspoken, needs we don't even understand. But God does. So let's sing it one more time and let the Lord just minister.
Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face and gaining new power to run in this race. Oh, I love to be shut in with God.
Thank you, Jesus.
With God.
I meet every need in this place today. Father, by your power, by your spirit, by our faith, God, meet every need. God, touch hearts of these that are standing today. God, touch them physically, touch them spiritually. God, pour over the windows of heaven into their hearts and lives to meet those needs right now in Jesus' name. Father, we know you're here. We feel your presence. Minister in this place as only you can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. We give you praise today. Thank you, Jesus.
My God can do anything.
Anything. Anything.
My God can do
anything.
He made this world in all His fullness. And time, the time is great.
My God can do anything.
Do you believe that today? God can do anything. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for God. And Jesus tells us that beautiful verse in Hebrews, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that brought deliverance and healing and help and hope does it again and again today that believe. Praise God for that belief and that hope today. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for this time today. Thank you for those gathered here in the place of worship. Father, we just ask you to go with us. Let the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit fill us again and again, our tomorrow and our weeks, to be full of being witnesses for Christ. In Christ's name we pray. We thank you now. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.